بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حاجي عبد الغفار صاحب رحمة الله عليه is one of the senior khulafa of Hazrat Thanvi صاحب رحمة الله عليه. His seniority and the way he had progressed can be judged from the statement of Hazrat Maulana Manzoor Nomani صاحب and Maulana Alimia صاحب رحمة الله عليه, were oceans of knowledge and that led the Ummah for a long period through the bayans, through the literature, respected both by Arabs and non-Arabs alike. Both these luminaries, Alimiya Sahib and Manzoor Nomani Sahib rahmatullahi, both of them say that sometimes we are discussing a point, it takes us over a month and we can't find any closure to the subject. After a month or two, then we get some direction. And this Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib, he's at that level. We just present the case before him. In a minute, he finds the conclusion. Same thing what we had been thinking about and we had come up to after 2 months, here he finds it in a minute. He explains his beginning. He had read some of Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi's kitabs. He was inspired. And inspired to such a level that he left his wife and his children, everything, boarded the train, and he's got some kitabs from Mawad Thanvi Rahmatullahi and some other Buzurgan Adin, and how they had climbed up the spiritual ladder. So as he's approaching Thandabon, he comes across one kitab. The man had left his wife and he went to dedicate himself. In the process now he left his wife. He's reading, this Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib is reading the story that he left his wife and his children and he's progressing. In the meanwhile, his wife and his children were divorced, so they had to continue their lives. And this person is carrying on in his way. And in the process, he had to go for some assistance, some salt, some petty thing that he required. So he knocked at the door that he required some firewood or something, whatever it was. Knocked at the door. And the woman became a little bit interested in this beggar or this person that was there. He wasn't a beggar, obviously. So she said, I just want to see what's in your bag. So she saw some salt, some pepper, some spices, onions, whatever else is required. By a musafir, she saw all this and some utensils, basic utensils. So then all the hell broke out in her. And she flung that bag. Said, yes, I was that only dunya that you had to divorce. This salt, pepper, this bag and utensil, all that you have, that wasn't dunya. Now, when he came across this article, he got shaken up. Okay, what am I doing? I left my wife and my children, and I am on a similar journey like this person here. And from the little that I know of Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he's very particular about all these things. You come to me, but don't disregard all your other obligations and duties. Come to me with a clear sheet and nothing in suspense. Now when he came across this, he got a shock of his life. That I'm just at the gates of Thanabon and I come across this article here, now what do I do? So he took a U-turn back home. It was his luck that he came home, because for 2 days his wife hadn't been sleeping and hadn't been eating. He was so shaken up because this man has left me. What happened to him? He died, he's alive, what happened to him? Anyway, the same Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in a few years thereafter, he had gained Khilafat from Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and By profession, he was doing a low type of a profession. In India, they call it a Gandhi. Gandhi is a person who's squeezing oil, all that type of work. So India has it that such people are not counted as people of high professions, people that are not respectable. That's how they treat them, but it doesn't mean they are not respectable. So Mawlana conferred the Khilafat to him, so he objected, said, Mawlana, see, I'm such a lowly person, nobody even sees me in the eye. You know? And now you're conferring such a great honor and a responsibility on my shoulders. I don't think you're supposed to be doing that. You need to review this whole thing, reconsider what you are doing. So Mawlana's reply to him was, all oils are not the same. They don't fetch the same value. One is the oil of coconut oil fetch its price, mustard oil fetch its price, cooking oil will fetch its price, and one is oud oil, pure genuine oud oil that has been preserved for 200-300 years. That now small little tola will be lucky to get it for 10,000 rand. If it's preserved for 100-200 years, so he says all oils are not the same. Some may be soiling your clothing and you may disapprove of it, but that doesn't mean all oils are identical. Mawlana picked up his morale. See, the mashayikh, they see the type of person and his commitment and his consistency. And when they see all this and they see that perhaps this person is going to a level where he'll break his morale, then they would give him not a face shift, you know, you say face lift. They'll give him a morale lift. Our homes, now and then they go off. So you need to give it a face lift. They give them a morale lift. Lift them up. Because the morale is like the fuel. And when it is the fuel, it is a genuine need. You need that fuel for the continuity of the journey. The fuel is broken down, there's no fuel, then can you continue? Find it very difficult to continue. You have to push the car and complete the journey. How long are you going to keep pushing? So you need that fuel. So the mashayikh will see the person, what type of a person he is, what is the level of commitment, what is he doing, and what type of an energy he requires at that moment. So they will give him that type of energy that is required. So anyway, there was a discussion going on. This Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib also, the level of sincerity was something beyond us. If there is a jalsa or an istima, right, then you will seem like an ordinary person, like a bookseller, who was quite well to do, alhamdulillah. A bookseller, he's got his, like how you have an istima, everybody coming to do their shopping, right. So he used to have his kitabs in one of those tents, and got his kitabs there. So he look at the person that is coming and interested in the kitab. Right? If it's a person that he feels that will do good for the community, he's an alim, and he will appreciate that, he will value it for himself and for other people, then he will knock the price, half the price. And he feels that this person is a very good candidate, and I can see he doesn't have the money, so just take it, you don't have to pay for it. So he used to be doing tabligh in that way. Tabligh can be done in all ways. It's not just confined to one routine. The idea is we all need to do tabligh. Every Muslim is an ambassador for Islam. It is better to conform to the Jamaat method because they got a system, consistent plan. They've got 40 days, then 3 days, then gush, in gush, out gush, all that. That's a better thing, right? But now if someone cannot conform, it doesn't mean he mustn't do he mustn't do tabligh work at all. He must do what he can manage. Everybody's 2 cents, you know, accumulated builds up the masjid. Right? So whatever you can do from your side, don't look only for the ideal. Our problem is sometimes is, you know, you say if we eat, we'll eat biryani. Otherwise you're not going to eat at all. But until you get biryani, whatever you can manage, dal, diwal, masoor, mug and all that, just carry on. One day you get that biryani, you must enjoy that as well. And that's a principle that we need to apply in all aspects of our deen. See, you get these big nights, right? 15th of Shaban, right? Then Shab al-Qadr. Right? Now these are big nights, you're supposed to be dedicating yourself in ibadat. So the one way to think is, you know what, I will do my tahajjud. The last 2 hours, I will get up 2.5 hours and I will worship Allah at that time. Let me go and sleep now. The possibility is that he doesn't sleep, doesn't get up. He doesn't get up. So he missed out the first portion of the night and he missed out the last portion of the night in anticipation that I will get up in the latter portion of the night. So the wise thing for him to do was that, see, in Islam, the night starts off from Maghrib. So all the fazilat for a big night will start up from Maghrib, from sunset. Whatever I could do from Maghrib till Isha, let me do that. From Isha till whatever time, whatever I can do, let me do that. I got, say, 1.5 hour from Maghrib to Isha. Let me dedicate that, explain the family, she's also comfortable with that. See, do things but without a fight, please. Now, we like the fireworks. I suppose the spice is so deep in our system. Okay, without the fireworks and without the chutney, we can't work. But what you can get, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُعْطِي بِالرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي بِالْعُنْفِ. Allah Pak, what He will bless you with kindness and a gentle, kind approach. You cannot get that with aggression, harshness. You can't get that. And aggression and harshness, it's a short-lived thing. It works for a short while. After that, you can't continue with that. But what is done gentle, with gentleness, kindness, then that's for a life. So you need to make the zihn of the family as well. Try and explain them, make them understand. And Allah Ta'ala willing, they do understand after time. Right? So the better approach was you worked yourself from Maghrib to Isha. So you got 1.5 hour or 2 hours. Between Maghrib and Isha, you got 2 hours, right? And then from Isha onwards, say 1 hour, 1.5 hour, you got... So you spend 2 hours from Maghrib to Isha. From Isha, another 2 hours to 4 hours you've got. You spent already to your credit. In the event you got up for tahajjud, it's an additional bonus. 4 hours here and 1.5 hour, 2 hours there, right? So 6 hours you've got in ibadat. And if you didn't get up for tahajjud, then too, you're not a full loss. You got the basic, just the bonus you lost out, but you got the basic. So in Islam, in our deen, this is what we need to understand. Let me do how much I can do today. Tomorrow, if there's an occasion for life, I can continue, I can prosper. But if there's no opportunity for life, then at least I cannot say that I don't have anything in my accounts. So as we begin to understand deen, how much we can walk, how much we can progress, what we can do for the time, let us continue. The day I can do the ideal, let me do the ideal. I can't do the ideal, at least when Yusuf al-Islam was being auctioned in Egypt, you know. This one poor little woman, she came up with some scraps, you know. Some scraps that she had, everybody's bidding, and she's bidding with the scraps. So it's an auntie, tumhari akal kahan gayi? Where's your brains? People are offering gold, silver, musk, and you got the scraps here you want to offer for Yusuf al-Islam. You want to purchase him with the scraps. So she says, this is all I have got. But at least on the day of Qiyamah, if I'm summoned, okay, this man was being auctioned, such a valuable person, did you also try to bid for him? I would say, Allah, all this out I had all this. I didn't have anything more than this. So whatever I had, I tried to auction for him. I tried to bid for him. So at least my name will be amongst those people who bid it for Yusuf alayhi salam. So what we can do, what we can achieve, what we can acquire, don't hesitate doing it. The ideal opportunity comes and you do it at that ideal time. But you in your occupation, you in your business, whatever the nature of the business, you can perform 2 rakats of namaz of charge, 2 rakat namaz of ishraq. Why hesitate? In your business, and you can open the Quran Sharif and recite. Why hesitate? Don't worry about the comments people will pass. They won't stop passing comments. Some people have made it the business of their life to pass comments. But you can see it's a free time, everything is attended to. I'm in my business, I'm not doing anything. I don't need to do anything now. Can't I just open up the Quran Sharif, recite some Quran Sharif? Or can't I just read my Hizbul Azam, or the 40 Durud, or something? Can't I do it? So that little moments that we have got,
And we just direct it, redirect it. And by don't ever think that if you direct it in the right direction, then your business is going to suffer. Because whoever I've spoken to, what they explain to me, you get better ideas. Your mind is more clear, it's more calm and composed when you, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So the ideas that you will get will be even better than the other person's ideas. So we are talking of this Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. And I'm showing you what a clean heart, what it does to a person. People are discussing now, and you know, you have it, unfortunately people begin to then discuss the merits of their mashayikh. I'm talking of my sheikh, so you will talk of your sheikh. And in that heat, you know, I will be running down your sheikh, and you will be doing the same thing to me, you see. Not realizing that we are smashing ourselves. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah's presence, one person was seated there, and Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah turns to him and tells him, "Kis khurafat mein lage hue? What nonsense are you engaged in?" Precisely at that moment, what this person was doing, he was trying to work out which buzurg is greater, this Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali or that buzurg, that other buzurg, which one is greater. Hadi Sahib went on to tell him, "Bhai, you look at it from a different perspective, ke ye bhi saqawa hai aur wo bhi saqawa hai. Meri zarurat ke liye ye kaafi hai ya nahi? This is also a tank of water, this is also a tank of water. But is this person sufficient for my needs? If it's sufficient for my needs, just hold on to it and carry on. Aapko usse kya matlab ke kiska saqawa bara hai? It doesn't relate to you that whose tanker is greater. Yes, it relates to you that is this sufficient for my needs or not. Just keep it to that point, don't go beyond that point." When we talk about judgmental, this is judgmental. It's beyond your jurisdiction. What was within your jurisdiction, mere kaam ke liye ye kaafi hai ya nahi? Is this in accordance to my need or not? Now beyond that, if you think, and you apply your mind beyond that, then you're going to run down someone. When you're going to run down someone, you will be run down. You're not going to be elevated. You need to elevate yourself, then you need to run down yourself. And others, you need to run them up. Run down yourself. You run down yourself, you'll go up. You think to yourself, simply, simple, be a simple person, a straightforward, clear person. This is not my territory. It's not my place to go and work out his maqam and his position. My place is just to see that is this tank sufficient for my need? Or not? He's got sufficient water, can he guide me? And can he take me right to the other end? Or not? He's got that's sufficient. I don't need to employ my mind beyond that. What's the need to employ my mind beyond that? You know, one despise someone, in the process you're going to get lost. And you're going to lose out. What little you have got also, that also you will lose out. One person, he smacked one majzoob. A majzoob is a type of a wali as well. It's a different discussion of what is a majzoob. Some other day, inshallah, I'll explain. But they don't seem to be functioning right. When you see them, when you talk to them, they don't seem to be functioning right. But khuda ke waste, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, any person that you see not functioning right, don't feel now he's a majzoob. It's an order, it's a class of awliya kiram. Right? But you won't be able to identify them. But the senior awliya of the time, you must look at what is their relationship with this type of people. You will make out, alright, this person is a majzoob. But you don't want to figure out any person that has gone off a little bit and say, no, he's a majzoob. No, don't do that. Many a times, people that are a little bit off, right, I have seen that myself, right, they can make some type of predictions and the predictions come right. Right? They will tell you some things, right? And that things what they are telling you is right, or it can come right in a few days. Now, because of that, don't think that they are awliya. This is a mental problem. In that mental problem, you can see certain things that others can't see. Because at that time, see like an animal, right? An animal can see certain things that you can't see. The hadith says, the punishment of the grave, the animals can hear it. We and jinnat can't hear it, but animals can hear it. Because they don't have that level of intelligence. So these people also don't have that type of intelligence. They can see certain things that you can't see. But now because they can see some things that you can't see, now don't rate them to be the awliya, etc. No, no. Don't do that. See, in this field, many a times, everybody wants to give his own 2 cents. My 2 cents, my 2 cents, my 2 cents, everything. What do you get then? You don't even get the dig of Ajmer Sharif. Dig of Ajmer Sharif also you can eat from that. You know, you won't even get that. You get a garbage tank. Just full of garbage only. Everybody's 2 cents coming in. So this Haji Abdul Ghafoor Sahab, rahmatullah alayh, people are discussing now, they were discussing about their own sheikh and some other mashayikh in his presence. And then someone said, these people don't rate Al-Mu'tanwi Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi as he's supposed to be rated. You know? He's so great and they don't recognize him. Yeah, they feel that this other mashayikh are even greater. Our sheikh is so great. So these muridin were feeling a little bit hurt about the whole thing, how they were talking about Mu'tanwi Sahab rahmatullahi. They didn't rate him to be amongst the highest order of the awliya. So Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahab rahmatullahi, he kept quiet for some time. After that he spoke out, said, what nonsense are you people engaged in? My ambition, now he's a senior Khalifa of Mu'tanwi, my ambition and desire is all these people that you're talking of, they must be really even higher than the Mu'tanwi Sahab rahmatullahi alayh. That's my aspiration, that's my hope, that's my desire. And the reason behind it is that whatever Mawlana's position is, that position of his, inshallah, will be secure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will be able to take it away. But let's also hope that others also can reach up. Now see how clean the heart is. Now this is what Allah Pak likes, that clean heart. Iza saluhat saluhal jasadu kull. When this gets fixed up, then you're looking right, you're understanding right. You see things in right perspective, and you don't have that right, then you can't see things correctly. Though you want to do it correctly, but you don't have the right mold. When you don't have the right mold, how can you go right? You don't have the right design, you don't have the right shape. How can you move? Let me ask you. How are you going to get it done? We don't dispute the fact that you don't want to do the good. You want to do the good, but you don't have the right mold. Now a few days back, some student is asking about the turban, how to tie it this way, that way. And so he became so petty. I told him, "By, are you observing parda in your home? The level of parda that is required from women, are you observing it? And do you watch television?" I didn't mean to be so straightforward with him, but he became so petty about this aspect. Then I asked him a whole host of things, where these discrepancies in his life. Do you engage in ghibat? Everything, yes. I'm engaged in this. These are more important things than you worrying about the shape of the turban, how it must be like this, like that, what must be the color, all that. That is important. But these things are far more important. These things are far more important. It's like a person who is on a life support, right? And his organs are all collapsing and failing. And he's worried about the small little scratch he's got here. By that is alright, in an hour, 2 hours, you put it in last plus, that will fix up. But worry about your life. You're just on the edge there. You can go up anytime. And you're not worried about the things that are more serious. And this thing that is a very mild thing, he's so concerned about it. But where this came about is, he doesn't have the right dimension, he doesn't have the right shape. And this right shape, let me tell you, in my experience, you don't get it on your own. You have to, kisi ka daman pakarna hi padega. You will have to hold on to someone. After all, the Sahaba-i-Kiram are the Sahaba-i-Kiram because they followed. As great as they were, they had to follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be that great. Because they could have heard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and followed whatever advices was passed on from wherever they are. But they had to be there in their company to be a Sahaba-i-Kiram. And then for the Jamaat that came afterwards, Allah Pak speaks about them, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. And those that followed and emulated the Sahaba-i-Kiram. So you have to be with the Sahaba-i-Kiram to be able to perfectly emulate them. So you're not there, finish. So then this will carry on for ever. The Sahaba Kiram were not an exception. They had to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be the Sahaba Kiram. As intelligent as they were, as smart as they were, as dedicated as they were, as great as they were. But for them to be at that level, they had to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when they had to be emulating someone and to be in the association and the company of someone, then others, how much more they will require to be with their elders. These people had to be there. Imagine how great they were. Nobody, all the awliya, everybody put together, they can't make up the smallest of Sahaba Kiram. Then you think for yourself, then those that came afterwards, for them to reach up to wherever they need to reach up, can they get that without associating? They'll have to associate, you know, come what may, but they'll have to associate. So they will only get there with that association. With that association, the right thinking comes up, the right understanding comes up, the right way comes up, the right behavior comes up. Like otherwise, you will see, like I explained to you just now, he's worried so much about that, and the more important things in his life, he's just losing it, he's just wasting it. It is like, you know, they say, kutte ka taqwa. The taqwa of a dog, you see. The kutta, the dog, is so muttaqi, such a parezgar thing, you know. He's got so much of taqwa that when he wants to urinate, it'll get his one paw up, you know, so that the splashes may not touch his body. Right? He's so particular about it, that splashes mustn't reach his body, he's so particular. But that same dog, you'll see, it'll vomit, it'll start licking the thing. A feces is there, waste is there, then you're lick, trying to work out now what's inside there and lick up the good out of it. So it's going to be eating filth, but it will then guard itself so much against the splashes. Now it happens to many people. Ghibat they involve, robbing they involve, cheating they involve, everything else. But you know, my wuzu, I got a wuzu problem. Sometimes the wuzu problem, sometimes it's urine, sometimes the air is coming out from the back. Either, you know, backward or forward. Like as though a man is jolting. Right, left, be jorting all the time. But by the more serious things you involve in interest, in overdraft, in all other things, you're talking with your secretaries like you're not supposed to be talking. You involve all these things, you're not concerned about that this became the major issue in your life. Now get the more important things right, level by level, stage by stage. Get these things important in your life. Have a list and try and work out on these things. Yeah. Now all these problems, this inconsistency, incoherent, where it comes from, just think, try and figure it out, because you got no mold before you. You don't have a design before you. Don't have a pattern before you. When you don't have a pattern before you, then you're going to apply your own mind. Whatever you picked up from one talk, the other talk, the third talk, you're going to apply it. Let me carry on. But you don't realize that you're making a real mix-up for yourself. Now the person who's got the mold, who's got the design, what the Quran is saying, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, I just follow them. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala could have just revealed the Quran Sharif and just sent all the hadith to the Kaaba Sharif. Everybody just follow from there, carry on your lives. But he sent Nabi Sam in person. Like it was that person that was so kind and considerate to the tailor. He said to the tailor, "By, you know, this is the specs on the kurta that I want on my topi and my trouser." He said, "By now, let me make it even easier for you. Let me give you a whole set. Kurta, the trouser and the topi. This is what I need." So now the tailor, he feels so comfortable. All I need to see is to get it to this specification. So this is the kindness and the compassion of Allah Ta'ala that He sent the Nabi in person. Not just the literature, not just the academic, but He sent the Nabi Sassam in person. Go and follow Him to the T, won't see Him. So, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ also, they also, we have sent them in person. We have sent them in person. When we have sent them in person, now you'll understand the very taste of deen, the very essence of deen. Right? This is how you'll understand it. Therefore, people used to ask, you know, that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was not a qualified alim as such, right? He was not at the level of Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Qasim Nanotvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He wasn't at that level. But then why did these people have to follow him? So the answer is simple. The answer is this. That Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi already tasted all the mitais. All the mitais, the use, the benefit, the enjoyment, he'd got it. And he knows exactly this mitai has got this property, and this mitai has got that property. Right? He knows and he's eaten it up all. He's enjoyed already. Just that he doesn't know the names. These people have learned the names, but they haven't enjoyed the mitai. So who depends on who? The one that hasn't tasted it, he depends on the one that tasted it. So Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was of that category, of that league, who has tasted it already. So now, that level of sincerity, that level of clarity, that heart has to be clean, to be molded, to be brought to that level. When it's brought to that mold, now everything goes in it. Every type of righteousness and virtue goes into it. But it's not there, it's not there. So the base is what? The base is the heart. Cleanse that, correct that, give it the right mold, give it the right shape, and then see how you will be flying. The thing that you come to the awliya and buzrugan at the in for is this right shaping. Not for the namaz, and not for the clothing. Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. That I had to advise quite a few people. You know, I had advised them. Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's level of ihsan, there was a consciousness of Allah Ta'ala was such that he would sit like this all the time. Right? Even if he's asleep, you won't find him with his legs stretched out. Right? He'll be always wearing a topi. There won't be a time when he won't be a topi, even if he's fast asleep. Even in Sakrat, he was wearing his topi, making sure that he's got his topi right. So that was Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That level of consciousness and ihsan was at that level, right? Now, people like us, what we have done, we have seen the secondary aspects and features in Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. What was his primary teaching? That we have disregarded. His primary teaching is be very clean, straight. Don't in your business, whatever else, be absolutely clean. No impurity, no deceit, no you misleading the client or anybody else, not misleading the person. Be absolutely straight and clear. That was one of his teaching. Even if you have to suffer a loss, but be absolutely clean, honest, respect your word. Don't be ambiguous in your approach. Number two, the second thing that was, you know, very, very outstanding in his life was wussa pasnaya. Don't be consumed by anger, by emotions, anger and all that. Now they say kurta wala, dari wala, and you fighting him. Isn't it a pathetic sign, embarrassing sign? Allah save us as well. We're not free of all these things here. But what I'm saying is, isn't it a shameful thing? Isn't it an embarrassing thing? Say, one side now you read namaz, you go to masjid and all that, you do everything else, and then you are consumed with anger as well. You can become like an animal in a moment. In a moment you're like a farishta, and in a moment you can be like an animal. So what type of reflection? It reflects then your masjid, your dini activity, everything is reflecting against it. But if the dini activity was right, then you wouldn't have been portraying this type of behavior. Why are you doing this? So that was the second thing that was in his life. You'll never see him angry. I haven't seen him angry. Only one time I saw him raising his voice slightly. That was when he saw some children truanting madrasa. So he got very upset. And that also, just say, what are you people doing? That was all he said. What are you people doing? Slightly. That's just raised his voice only. That was the only time that I saw him upset. Now what control he had over his emotions and his feelings. Now to be at that position, madrasa and head of an institute, you're getting correspondence from all parts of the world, 70, 80 correspondence every day you're doing, having a discourse, having a talk here, there, whatever else. With all that, to have that control, really, with something else. That was the only time I seen him. Now in that also there's control. That was his second teaching. And the third teaching that was very outstanding, Hazrat Muhammad Tari, dekho, hum umar bachche ke saath idhar udhar baitha mat karo. People that are of the similar age, right? So don't go and just go and riff-raff anybody, don't go and meet up with them. I will explain it in this way. When you are sitting with a deep association with anybody, then that person must be at least some levels higher than you, in every respect, in his character, in his ways. And he's thinking also along the same lines. His character, his ways, his mannerisms, his values are all in the same way. My Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say, "Bhai, if you need to make dua with someone, make sure that that person you're making dua with is really better than you. In tajweed, in his dua, in every aspect he must be better than you. Because he can pick out the smallest faults, he can pick it up. Now the person is kaccha like yourself, you will listen to, you will recite it to him, you will become even more kaccha. So that person that you need to associate with must be somewhat better than you. In every respect, his ways, his behavior, his character, his values, everything is, he's much more par excellence. Now, when you're going to be associating with that class of a person, his colors are going to rub onto you. So we're talking of this one buzur. And some person had hurt him. Some mazoob, you know, it hurt him. So this person that had hurt him was an ordinary police officer. Ordinary police officer. Even had hurt him. Gave a smack or something. Now sometimes people in authority, they overstep the mark, right? Now, when I speak about this, they say, yeah, all police are like, don't say that. But look at within your jurisdiction, do you overstep the mark, right? You're in a madrasa, you're in a business, you're in an office, you're in your home. Each person needs to look, retrospect. Can, do I overstep the mark as well? Don't look the other way around. Yeah, these police, they are always like this. They're just there for the money, nothing else. Now that's a negative way of looking at things, and the positive way of looking at things, yeah, but it applies to me as well. Am I guilty of this or not? So he went and slapped that buzurg. That Mazoob. Now that Mazoob looks like an ordinary person. Rifraf, they don't understand that. So he slapped him. So Mazoob made dua for him. You're an ordinary police officer. May Allah Ta'ala make you the station commander. What do you call the head on? Station commander. Huh? May Allah Ta'ala make you the station commander. So now, in a few months, and he got posted to being a station commander. From where he was, a station commander. Now he's getting so much of money now. Before what he was earning, 10,000, now 50,000 he's earning, with all the perks and the benefits, some additional car and whatever else, like his duties are also much more less. You know. So anyway, when he got that position, he got that additional wealth, you know, he, you know, I owe it to this buzurg, he made dua for me, so I got this. Let me get some gifts and all that, and let me at least go and acknowledge what he's done for me. Jazakallah, you made dua for me today, from where I was, in the gutters now, where I am now today. So the buzurg told him, see, I didn't make dua for you, I cursed you actually. He's a mazoob now, these people, they talk, some things is beyond our understanding and reasoning. I actually cursed you. So how do you, what do you mean? So no, but I must do something for you. You don't want to accept this mitai. So I must do something for you. At least I need to do something as a token, as an acknowledgement. So, alright, what you do, you're insisting that you want to do some favor for me. What you do is you go and bring, you know, a hand length, half a meter length of scorpion. Half a meter length of scorpion, going to bring that for me. Because the type of dua he received now, he was, you know, heads over heels. I need to do something for this person here, just as an appreciation. What can I do? He's looking high and low, can't find that. So I can't find, so no, let me show you. Took him to one Kabristan, so I just unearthed this grave here. And they see those pythons, or they see those scorpions, you know. Big size ones, half a meter. So he says, really, what I have done, I have made baddua for you. That you were an ordinary police officer, so you were involved in one small level of oppression. Now you are the head, the station commander, you'll be in a very higher level of oppression. When you'll be in that advanced level of oppression, so your punishment is going to be accumulated, it's going to be piled up. So sometimes it happens that when you hurt these type of people, this class of people, outwardly it may seem that you are even prospering even more. Outwardly it seems that you are prospering even more. But really you're not prospering. You're going down further and further and further. Outwardly it seems that you're prospering. You're flourishing. Hey, you know, what do I got? Let's see what's happening for me. What we're getting at is the thing that we need to concentrate on is the heart. Get the right molding, get the right size, and don't delay this. What we can achieve today, achieve it today. What we can do, the steps that we can take, don't let the pride come, you know, in between. What happens to us, you know, I have to lower myself, I have to go report, I have to do this. By How do you want to progress then? You got a heart problem. So you have to go and see a specialist. I'll have to humble myself. I'll have to open my kurta. Sometimes he'll ask me to open the satar. I have to go to a scanning machine. Then suffer with the heart attack and die with that then. You don't want to progress, then you can suffer and die. But you want that little bit additional comfort in your health, then you'll need to expose your faults. You need to expose yourself. At least you begin to realize this is my problem. These are the problem areas I need to identify and I need to correct myself. Without that, how are you going to get it? Without the relating, reporting, one more time Alhamdulillah wish to say. Ji, ittila and ittiba. In English, just to, for us to understand it or remember it more easily, I say, relate and emulate. But, yeah, ittiba and ittila. Buzugaradin also used to rhyme it. So we also must rhyme the thing a little bit so that people can remember the thing. Relate and emulate. Relate and emulate. Now you don't relate, you are a cancer patient and you don't relate immediately. After 5 years you come in relating. After 5 months you come in relating. That thing has gone deep into your system. Now, you know, the difficulty to get it out will be even more. But you relate at short intervals, alright, before that thing can come up and you're correcting yourself. Before it can surface and you're correcting yourself. So you're not allowing that delay. And mind you, in this aspects, if you look from the Sahaba Kiram's time, they were very careful about this. When I talk about ittila, ittiba, etc., Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu becomes the Khalifa. Now he is the Kamil, representative of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That means to come to this position, the Sahaba Kiram will have to emulate Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu to come to this position. So we beat Umar, Usman, Ali radiyallahu anhu, they'll have to follow him. Then they will come to that level of Kamal. Right. Then Umar radiyallahu anhu, when he's appointed to that position, then Usman, Ali will have to follow him. And then they will come to that level. So even they had to also follow for them to reach that level of Kamal. Right? Had Umar radiallahu anhu, in his zamana of Khilafat, it's not that they secured that position of Khilafat now, so everything is over now. No. In his zamana of Khilafat, someone had noticed that he's doing the work of a water bearer. Sukka is that water bearer. He takes the water in a leather bag and he begins to supply it to all the homes. See? Because that time they didn't have that communal line, like how we got a communal line. So they don't have that. So he's got that. Now that was about the most low work, you know, person that is very low, like how you get your garden boy or something, that type of work. Umar radiallahu anhu, he's a Khalifa, he's a Jannati, been promised by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best person upon whom the sun rises, he's already predicted. But this man is doing so menial work, providing all the Muslims. Someone asked him, well, but you doing this type of work? So he says, kya karu? Mere paas abhi room Hirakal ke kuch aadmi aaye hue the, Hercules of Rome. He has sent a special envoy for negotiations with me. So maine dekh liya tha, I had noticed ke mere dil mein uska kuch asar sa aa gaya tha. I felt a little bit affected. What a high profile delegation has come to me. I need to do something. And we, Allah Pak make maaf, right? We are in that position that there was a special dawat, special urus now. I'm talking in a different terminology, right? Special urus that is supposed to be held on Mandela's grave, you know. And I think all of us will buy tickets to go to the popularity, the show, everything that goes with it. No, we'll buy tickets just to be the urus of Mandela. You understand? We want to identify with these people here. And these people were apprehensive that I have to identify now, those feelings wasn't going to affect my heart. You know, pride, haughtiness, attitude, etc. And if we had the chance of even eating with Zuma, you know, one person telling me, you know, I shook hands with Zuma or someone, for what is 1-2 weeks I didn't wash my hand after that. Barakat. And Hazrat Umar, look, see what I'm showing you is, see the mold of the mind, the mold of the heart, what it's supposed to be. That can only come when you got this type of association. Otherwise, the mold of the heart goes off. And you'll talk about these type of things for a year, you know. I had meals with Zuma, you know, one day. For you leave that as a legacy in your will also to your children and grandchildren. One day, you know, on this day, on this occasion, that's what happened. And perhaps if you are even more unmindful, you have yourself photographed as well. And you leave it as a legacy, framed up for everybody to see. And one day this is what happened. Now look the discrepancy. Look how far we are away. Now this distance is because we don't want to follow these people. We'll do it in our own way, our own style. As Umar saw that, he perceived a slight difference. Let me go and correct this straight away. Now that was not just exclusive to Umar. Ali radiallahu anhu, one day someone saw him and he's got his trouser cut, you know, and it's cut. So you get the threads coming out, you know. But Hazrat, why do you do such a beautiful cloth and then you, when it's pointy like this, say, mere dil mein bhi kuch khayal aaya tha. Kapra kis qadar umda hai, you know, such a beautiful cloth. So to eradicate that thought, I will cut it. So now it doesn't look so attractive. You see. But all is said and done, please now don't go and do it yourself. Do it yourself, they got the books for carpentering and all that, you can do, it's alright. No problem, do it yourself, tiling, you know, do it yourself. But in Islah, etc., then you need someone's professional guidance. Someone's guidance you need, otherwise, where you're supposed to be doing it, you know, being very particular, then you will be unmindful. And where it was a small little thing, you will take it too serious. You know, what is supposed to be done very casually, you'll become very serious. And what you need to be very particular about, like I said, kutte ka taqwa. Hazrat Shaykh Sadi rahmatullah alayh. He is now around the 7th century. And you get some of these people, right? The level of ikhlas is so great, that they may have written a simple kitab. But that kitab then lasts, it flows for generations. Not generations, centuries. 7th century, to look at this now, it's 15th century. Simple kitabs he wrote, Gulista, Bosta. Nearly every madrasa in the Indo-Pakistan has got it as part of the syllabus. Qari Amir Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah, he explained that many people became awliya, Qutub and Ghaus, just reading his kitabs. Who's this? Hazrat Shaykh Sadi rahmatullah alayhi. So he was a very widely travelled person. Allah Pak blessed him with a long life, over 110-120%. Very light-hearted as well. Although he was very widely travelled, a little bit light-hearted, soft in his approach, very witty. So, now, because he used to travel so much, around the time that he was travelling, there was some commotion going on in the Bayt al-Muqaddas area, right? So they imprisoned him. Now one of his old friends had seen him, that he's imprisoned here. So he bailed him out for about 10 rupees, whatever, he bailed him out, caught him out. And then he got him married to his daughter, with a mehr of about 1,000. So one day, you have this wife and husband problems, husband and wife problems, yeah, you... My father, you know what he did for you? You wouldn't have been where you are today if it were not for my father. Now some people have this. Women also have it, men also have it, to give reminders of your generosity. It's very bad, very, very bad. You rather don't do the work of generosity than giving that reminders, لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ. That works of generosity, that works of goodness and kindness, don't destroy them. By giving reminders of your generosity. You've done it for Allah Ta'ala, then why do you speak about it? Why do you make an advertisement about it? And if you've done it for advertisement purposes, then don't say I've done it for Allah Ta'ala. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن. You've done it for Allah Ta'ala, just leave it pure. Don't contaminate it. So this woman spoke out of turn. Yeah, you know you. If it wasn't my father, you wouldn't have been where you are today. So Sheikh Sadi was a bright person, witty person. He said, yeah, he bailed me out for 10 and he imprisoned me with 1,000. Anyway, he says that I was accompanying my Shaykh Shihabuddin Shuharwardi rahmatullahi. I was with my Shaykh and we were traveling.
on a boat.
So my sheikh gave me two pieces of advice. Now this is a parting advice. Can you imagine how precious it must be? But his books is like all wasiyat, you know. It's so dynamic, it's so comprehensive. You just keep that. You know, it will last you for the rest of your life. It's so dynamic. Although the hadith that he's quoted there, the hadith may be, you know, a little bit controversial, whether it is at that level, does it stand to the standards of authenticity or not. But the material is right. What he has used as a support, that may be debatable. But the essence is right. See? What he's talking about, like for example, you talk of namaz, the essence is right. But the hadith that I brought to prove the importance of namaz may be debatable. But what he's speaking about is absolutely, it's 100%. It's genuine. So he says, I was accompanying my sheikh, and whilst we were on boat, you know, on the boat, and he gave me two pieces of advice. He says, Yakea, one piece of advice is this, but khud bi mabash, that don't get involved in self-admiration. Don't be involved in self-admiration. Wa digar a, kebar digar bad bi mabash. And the second piece of advice that he had given, and don't look at people who despise. Now, I was sharing the same poetry with an American, you know. So that American tells me, why, make it simple. Why don't you say, look at others with respect and look at yourself with suspect? It's their language, so they can express themselves better than us. We think in Gujarati and Urdu and translating it. And they are thinking pure in English, so for them to express themselves is easier. So now, this is the summary of life that we... More than ever, for us, we'll try and preserve a good name, a good rapport, a good name. People talk good about us, they think good about us, they understand us to be of someone of position, etc. And others, in the process, if you can bash down someone, smash down someone, it's all right. I spoke about Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib Rahmatullahi, and see his thinking. Some saying, this is the imam, you know, that imam that you need to follow. Follow the imam, you know, even the computer, follow the imam and follow this and follow this. Now this is that imam that you need to follow. He's got the mold. And if you're not going to follow that imam, you're going to take a wrong direction. Really you're going to take a wrong direction. Imagine if the imam is performing namaz, right? He's performing Zohar namaz, right? And you made niyat for Isha namaz. Will your namaz be valid? Namaz can't be valid. He's got the niyat for Zohar. And you're performing Isha namaz behind him. So diverse intentions, now the namaz will be valid. Namaz won't be valid. So you need to be conformity. Total conformity. So this is a golden piece of advice. Really, sometimes I think, you know, we should keep it in our rooms, big bold letters. Right? Don't look at others with suspect, and don't look at yourself with respect. Look at others with respect, and look at yourself with suspect and others with respect. All the time. This can be just ingrained, and all the time you analyze it. Am I suspicious about him? Am I malicious about him? Do I have any envy and jealousy about him? Or do I want him to progress even more than myself? Do I want the person to be more acknowledged, more respected? And especially if it's a contemporary, working around the same time, same place, then what do you want? This person here, he gives some programs, but it's all right now. It's all right. And then in the process of conversation, say, but you know, you heard of my site. You saw my site. Hey, my site is so popular. You see where we're going now. Bhai, Khuda ke deen ki taraf logo ko bulao, apni zaat ki taraf na bulao. Apni zaat ki daawat na do, Khuda ki deen ki daawat do. These are the approximate words of Hazrat Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah. Khuda ki deen ki taraf logo ko bulao, apni zaat ki taraf na bulao. Don't make your personality. What's the difference between this and shirk? I ask you, what's the difference? You're calling people towards tawheed, but you're involved in the same thing. To some level of shirk, you're also involved. Because your person, your being, you must be acknowledged, you must be respected, and anybody else is respected and honored. Now you're feeling that my domain is being threatened. What you feel? My domain is being threatened. How to smash the person? How to run this person down? Now, this is a very fine line, very, very fine line. That's why I say these things can't be achieved. This heart is such a discrete thing. Right? For the heart, you needed Professor Mitha or you need Professor Vanka or someone, isn't it? Everybody can't go do that work. Any GP can do that work, can't do that work. It's a very refined work, very, very refined, very sensitive work. He had to do it. Right? Even a GP had to go and refer to him. Right? So it's so sensitive. But it's such a comprehensive prescription. Right? Look at yourself, always you suspect, maybe there's a flaw here, I need to correct this. And for that person, if I didn't see him doing something, maybe he meant it like this. I didn't see him for further, for example. So perhaps he had to go out for some suffer, right? So he read his namaz at home and he's gone. Right? So I made up, I covered up for him. One of the more time of this murid, he comes up and tells him, "No, I have some malicious feelings towards someone. Some thoughts, some reservations against that person." Now look how these awliya kiram, how they guarded their hearts. To what extent they guarded the hearts. Well, the heart must be immaculate, clean. There mustn't be any taint. It is important for you to do your ma'mulat. But the greater ma'mulat is to keep the purity of the heart. So ma'mulat is important. That amount of zikr, that amount of tasbihat, etc. That, in the word of Hazrat Rahmatullah, it's a mu'awin. It's a support. So that is just an assistance. What is an assistance? But the actual pillar, what is the pillar? Is the heart. Have you got the heart right? Have you got the character of the right, the mold of the heart, have you got that right? Now we look at secondary things, like we look at the jewelry in the woman, but the woman is the thing that we're supposed to be looking at. That is the primary thing. This was a secondary thing. So we look at the jewelry and we're forgetting the woman itself. If the woman is right, the jewelry will add to her beauty. But if she's an old hag, teeth are all broken down, right? And there is some pus coming out from her eyes and ears and everything else. And now you're putting jewelry over that, putting a wedding dress on her. What would it amount to? You say, no, the direction is totally off. The whole direction is off. So get that heart right. So that heart, this is that word, that golden words, of Hazrat Sheikh Sadi Rahman, Sheikh Shihabuddin Sohrawardi, he's given me two precious advice. Your heart, keep it absolutely clean. This person comes up to Hazrat Muhammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, I've got this reservation, some malicious feelings. We are in this world, so we'll have these challenges, right? About so and so person. So Muhammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi says, for a moment, some thoughts had run through my heart also about that person. For a moment, some similar thoughts had run into my heart, but immediately I had encountered it. Encountered it in this way, that perhaps the wrong is within my heart. And because my heart is wrong, therefore I am looking at him in this way, as though I have got the wrong glass. When I've got the wrong glass that is showing red, I'm looking at the person red. But where's the wrong? The wrong is within me. My glass is wrong. I need to go and change that glass. If I change the glass, I will see him right. So the wrong is within me, not within that person there. Immediately he put a block, he put an end to that malice. Now, when we are subjected to these situations, we need to keep checking, am I right or not? And we, without going, for physical problems, don't we refer to someone? I repeat this, don't we go for someone? Don't we see the importance? That means we don't have the azmat of deen. That is why we don't want to see someone. The azmat of dunya we have, of our physical self, we have got the respect. So you don't want to see someone. But if we had the respect for deen, we'd have definitely referred, come what may. I must humble myself, totally, I'm prepared to humble myself, but I must do it, I must get that right. No, I don't want it. I want to be selective. What suits me, I want to go and find, get that right. What doesn't suit me, it's alright, one of those things. So these deeds of ours, whether it's umrah, whether it is nafal, namaz, whether it is zikr, etc., really they get the value with these type of things. When the heart is right, everything gets the value. One more time I wish to say that an arif, person that is an ahlullah, because he's got the molding right, he's got the ways right, if he performs 2 rakat namaz, it's superior than 100,000 rakats of an ordinary person. Why? He's got the molding right. His essence is right, his thinking is right, his view and his vision is right, everything is right within him. The 2 rakats is too much. 2 rakats, just 2 rakats of his, because his whole thinking is right. His whole thinking is right. is two people that you've got in your shop, just to bring it to our terms, right? Right. Both are working, and you can see the working, if you compare their work, it's quite identical, the work is the same. Right? Outwardly it seems to be the same. So one person works, alright, you know, at the end of the day I'll get 200 rand, and 200 rand I'll go and, you know, I'll have a good day for myself. So his whole mindset is towards the reward. You won't see what he's doing is wrong. Will you see what he's doing is wrong? This person says, no, I'll get the reward, I appreciate the reward. But more than the reward, I need to look after the business of my boss. My boss's business, you know, there mustn't be any flaw, there mustn't be any grey areas, there mustn't be any loose ends. I must see that everything is going well. He's got the stocks right, he's got the suppliers right, nobody's turning away the clients. Everything must be right, must be opened right, it must be advertised right, everything must be right. Because what he's done for me, you know, I owe it to him to ensure that his business is running right. I ask you, in Booth's outlook is the same. Isn't there a world of a difference? This person, you want to give him your life, see how he's looking at it. This person is only worried about his personal. We don't see what he's saying, what he's doing is wrong. But really, this person is looking at it differently. His vision is absolutely different. His vision is totally different. So you see this problem here. And our Busugaradin, they're identifying this problem. When the problem has been identified, now we work on to it. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, at the height he was, yeah, he didn't become oblivious of himself. So I am now, you know, he spoke about himself. Allah Ta'ala showed him on one occasion, قَدَمِي عَلَىٰ أَنَاكِ كُلِّ وَلِيٍّ عَلَىٰ رِقَابِ كُلِّ وَلِيٍّ. My foot, as I stand, where I stand, it's the height of every other person, I stand at that position. Where your position ends, I start off that point. Where you end off, this is where I start off. Now on the one side, Allah blessed him with that type of position. But then, now look at himself, how he looks at himself, how he tries to find out. You must remember these people here, they were responsible for millions of people to come into Islam. If you've seen their lives, millions of people had come into Islam because of their dawah and tabligh, whatever, right? They did it according to their style in that zamana, but they did the dawah. Right. So the khadim that was in charge of him, he was doing something and there was a priceless mirror. So in the process, that thing just broke off, it just fell off his hand and broke. Now the khadim thinks to himself, you know what, I'm in for big trouble. This was a priceless commodity, it's an important mirror, right? And when it's an important mirror, it's a very priceless thing. And now I have broken this thing, and just now Allah's lanat will fall on me. You know? Many a times in the madrasa, I have to remind the students, well, you know what? The mirror will not add to your beauty. Now, the way these youngsters, 16, 17, 18, they look like from this side, that side, right, left, top, as though the more they will look at it, the beauty will just progress. It won't progress. Beauty will just remain the same. Perhaps it will go a little bit backwards. But it will not increase. So now he said, no, I need to say it a little bit, you know, like a Sufi style. So it will impress upon him and I'll get marked just now, you know. So he said, how must I say it? I must say it nicely with choice of words, like a little bit of a Sufi style. You know, just give it a good cover, you know, so I'll just get covered up. So he said, no. Asqaza aina chini mishikast. By the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala, this mirror has broken down. He got himself covered quite well, see. Because if the other thing were to shout him for what? Taqdeer wanted it to break, so it broke. So how can he shout him? Now, you know, patience, the reward and the merit of patience is in the first encounter, immediately. Someone passed away, will cry and shout, make big noises and all that, right? Yeah, it was his fault and he didn't try like this and give some swear words and after 1-2 weeks, since, you know, man, I think, you know, man, Allah's taqdeer, no? Let's forget it now. Then after 2-3 weeks, the sabr must come, right? Whether you like it or not, you have to quieten down, you have to calm down. The sea can't be rough all the time. It has to have its high tides and the low tides afterwards, right? So, now the first encounter, that is the most important thing. What is going to be the response when you encountered with a situation? Afterwards you make maaf, Eid day comes, Jummah, make maaf, this, that. You will put things in place. But the first encounter, that is the thing that is meritorious in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So he says, khub shud, asbab khud bini mi shikast, wonderful, excellent. The instrument that I had for self-admiration, that has broken down. Allah maktofi nasibu.